Road then. Call this meeting to order. Could we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty for all, liberty and justice for all. Sorry, I screwed it up. Thank you. Please be seated. So I'll accept a motion for the approval of the September meeting minutes.
So moved or seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Thank you. So tonight we're going to take a little bit of break from our normal business. I would like to take a moment to recognize a retired county employee who was with the county for a number of years and had a significant impact on the county. I was in the legislature quite a while ago, and when I was there the first time, Dave was the chairman, and Chairman Donaldson was the chairman, and I was a rank and file, and we had the opportunity to fill some of the departments. We brought in a couple of folks to run the tourism department. Hallie Arnold, who was a reporter at the Freeman, and Rick Remsnyder, who was a golf reporter at the time. We brought them in to head up our tourism department. Unfortunately, Hallie Arnold passed away almost like less than 6 months after we brought her on. She got cancer and passed away very quickly. And fortunately for us, Rick was right there to pick up the pieces and move forward. That was, 14 years ago, Rick? Right?
That's correct, sir.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to take a few minutes to recognize Rick through this committee for his contribution to the county and what he's meant. I'll just read this. Well, actually, I'm going to say a little bit about this before I read this, Fawn, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Thanks. You know, so when we first came aboard, the tourism, was pretty normal. It was repetitive, and it was always focused over the same things year after year after year. Rick recognized that there was much more out there, and that Ulster County had a much wider appeal, and not just within the next neighboring counties, but actually nationally and in some cases globally. He took what was, a local tourist destination or tourist stop, I should say, for, specific places, and turned the entire county into a tourist destination that's known from coast to coast at this point. People know the small towns in Ulster County. They know Uptown Kingston like it's this big special thing across the country. And a lot of those things are attributable to what Rick and the work that he did while he was at the helm of the tourism department. Rick is personally responsible from taking Ulster County from just a kind of like a sleepy place to get away in the sticks to an actual tourist destination that people are flocking to. It's a complete difference from when he came on board to where we are today. And I just couldn't let Rick retire without taking a couple of minutes to express, my personal gratitude from the two times that he served on committees where I was at in the legislature, commend him for his long-term and dedication and success to the county. If anybody else has anything they'd like to add, feel free.
Yes, I would like to add something.
Go ahead, Chairman Donaldson, sure.
Yes, it's been a pleasure working with Rick. I knew him a little bit before. We ended up appointing him. And of course, he is one of my best appointments. I loved working with him, and he's always a gentleman, and it's just a pleasure to work with, and he's done such a great job. And Brian, you stole a lot of my thunder that I wanted to say, so I'm not going to repeat it. But as I pointed out, Rick came on like 14 and I think maybe 14 and a half years ago, is it, Rick?
That's correct.
Yep, it was about 14 and a half years ago he came on. And he changed this whole thing around. And as Brian pointed out, we are a destination area now. We're not just at the sleepy town that, oh, let's get away for, oh, it's a cute little place up in Kingston or Esopus. No, it's a place that people want to go to because they can do a lot of things. There's trails, there's rails, there's all kinds of stuff that can be happening here. And the world knows it, and most of that is because of Rick. So thank you, Rick. I really appreciate what you've done for us.
Thanks, Dave.
And if I could jump in, Chairman Cahill. Some of my legislative colleagues, being a freshman legislator, you might not realize this, but about 10 years ago, I actually interned for the county. So I might be one of the few people on the legislature who actually worked for Rick for a short time. And it was a great experience, and he definitely showed just a steadfast dedication to service to the tourist community, to the community of businesses that tourism enables to thrive in this county. And I learned so much, and I really, really appreciate that. And I will also add that during that time, I also got to know Lisa Berger, and I know that she's going to do an incredible job. So thank you so much, Rick, and I'm really excited for what the future may hold, Lisa.
Thanks, Dave.
And so, anyone else? Okay, Fawn, you can put that up there now. Thank you. So, Rick, in recognition of your 14 years plus of service to Ulster County, I'd like to present you with this Pride of Ulster County, an award presented by the Ulster County Legislature to Rick Remsnyder, Director of Ulster County Tourism for 14 years. In honor and recognition of your retirement and over 14 years of dedicated service, outstanding commitment, and a legacy of excellence you have given to Ulster County. And it's signed on the 6th day of October by the Chairman, Dave Donaldson. Thank you, Rick. It's your tenure is greatly, greatly appreciated. The citizens of Ulster County owe you a great debt. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Brian, and I got to be honest. You're way too kind. It's a team effort. Anything that we've been able to achieve in tourism, it's been a team effort, and not only my staff, but I've always had fantastic support from the legislature. I know you got a busy schedule, so I'm going to hurry on through this I can remember going back to the first meeting in UTRIC, and I was a little intimidated because the meeting was all these legislators talking about everything about what's going on in Ulster County. But I got to say that after a couple of meetings, I've got more comfortable with the job. It's been my honor and pleasure to work with the legislature. We couldn't be where we are without the support that you've given me and my staff. I have to thank Dave Donaldson. He's kind of gone in full cycle here. He did hire me as the chairman, and he came back as the chairman. But I want to say I had fantastic support from both sides of the aisle, and I'm really going to miss it. It was a labor of love. And as Abe mentioned, I know that Lisa, being my deputy for 5 years, she'll step right in and continue to promote Ulster County. So thank you so much for that. It was really nice of you to take a few minutes to. I certainly didn't expect it. But thank you very much and good luck. And I'm hoping to see Dave Donaldson on the links one of these days.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Take care.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay. So we'll move on with the agenda now.
Thanks, Rick.
So we have the 2021 department budget request are next on the agenda. And the first one is economic development, and it's Lisa Berger. And we also have the newly announced Director of Economic Development, Tim Weedman, with her. So if you guys want to take over, I'm not sure. I think, Tim, you're going to lead, and Lisa, you're going to back up. Is that how this is going to work?
That's exactly Rick, it. Thank you, Brian. Rick, sorry about the mess. Now.
I'm sorry.
Well, what was that? I said, I'm letting Rick know he can escape now.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. And thank you, Lisa. I think we wanted to be here both together in person, even though masks are required in this setting, to just show that we're eager to work together as we kind of craft the next steps in our economic development and tourism work. And I think you all know that I started the county back 5 years ago working in the economic development department, really excited to return to it. So I'm going to kind of quickly run you through our budget request and happy to answer questions and go into more detail wherever you guys would like to dive in a little bit more deeply. As you will have noticed, we have both the operating budget, the typical operating budget request, and then we also have a capital project related to Tech City that I'm happy to talk in more detail about and answer any questions. In the operating budget, you'll see that we have maintained the traditional four positions that we have, the director, a deputy director, our senior economic development assistant, and also known as business services assistant, lots of titles for that one, and then our confidential secretary position. And the team that Lisa has assembled, which is really an entirely new team over the last 2 years, have been doing a great job. And so we're looking forward to having them continue in those roles. We've broken down their time based on their assessments of how they allocate their time between the work that is done in the Department of Economic Development. And I'll just reiterate what is in the budget document itself, which is, you know, that we have a mission to promote greater prosperity and equity within our economic development work, building on the work that our Ulster 2040 working group did. And we see that as really focused on four main areas of work. The traditional work of any economic development department is around business retention and expansion. This is working with our existing businesses. And that really comprises probably about a quarter of the work that we do overall, if not a little more. It's really Barb Lauren in our office, who's our business services representative, who meets with local businesses and has lots of conversations with them about their needs, and she'll continue to do that. We're adding in this year a lot of effort within our team on our target cluster initiatives, which are, again, building out of the Ulster 2040 work, focusing on four target clusters to grow our economy, having to do with makers and creators, agriculture, food and beverage, health, wellness, and care, and climate, energy, and the environment. And so we have some initiatives that will come out of our contractual services budget primarily there. And also it'll be a main focus for me and Kate Heidecker, the deputy, to really grow our work in those target sectors. The Ulster 2040 report also highlighted the need to really think about social and economic infrastructure. You know, we've got roads and bridges and sewer and water and natural gas are all obviously important to our economic development as a county. But I think we all recognize that training and education, childcare, housing, transportation are all also important. And so we'll be dedicating some of our staff's time and some of our contractual services budget to trying to advance work like a broadband project to look at access across the county and make sure that there's access to that modern infrastructure that's so important for economic development. And then, you know, I think it's always been true, and I think Lisa continues to be a good kind of champion of this, that economic development is about partnerships. We have a relatively small team of four people doing a lot of work, and they really can't accomplish it. We can't accomplish it without partnerships with you guys in the legislature, and then partnership with a bunch of organizations at the local, regional, and state level. And so we'll really make sure that we're dedicating time next year to continue to build those relationships. And so, you know, that's kind of the quick sketch of the four areas of work that we're doing. And within those, you know, I think we've asked for a total of $275,000 in our contractual services line, which is an increase, admittedly, from last year. But I think coming out of the Ulster 2040 work, even just the part that we focus our attention on those target clusters is going to require an additional investment. And that's really where we see that extra funding going. Happy to go into a little bit more detail if folks have questions on that. Lisa, anything you want to add?
I think you covered it really well.
So is there anyone on the committee that would like to ask a question of Tim or Lisa? Okay, Lynn, go ahead.
Thank you. It would be great to have a better sense of what the additional 75 in professional services is going to do.
Yep, so two things that I would point to, and as you know, you know, as is only appropriate, as we go through contractual obligations, we'll have an RFP process and then come back with contracts for a lot of this work. So I can't speak to exactly how this will pan out in terms of what vendor, but I think the work we're planning with that additional 75,000 is a combination of investments in our makers and creators sector in Ulster 2040. In particular, it's a recognition of the opportunity that we have with Tech City and with its value to kind of reestablishing a home base, a central hub for a lot of our makers and creators and small manufacturers. And so we're looking at contracts with initial agencies or organizations that would help us to plan that out and help us to identify some of the first tenants that might be a good fit there. There's a lot of conversations, obviously, with you all before we get to that, but we think that that's reasonable to assume we can get there in 2021 and want to have the funds there to be able to support that.
Chairman, may I follow up? You talked about Tech City. I've not had a chance. We've not had very long to look at everything. So can you just give us an overview of what is being proposed in the capital plan for Tech City?
Sure. Happy to. Yeah, I know it's a lot to digest. The quick thing to say is that there may be a little sticker shock. We proposed a capital project that's about $3 million over the course of the next 3 years. That's in recognition of the fact that you all have asked for, rightfully so, a little bit more of a window into what we plan to do there rather than taking it in little pieces that could get us into the hole pretty quickly to have a more comprehensive picture. And so we put our heads together with the folks at DPW and Buildings and Grounds who have existing relationships with a lot of the contractors that actually did work there when Bank of America was there. So we were able to kind of get some good estimates on what it would take to get the building first and foremost up to a position where it's not further deteriorating. And so that really means being able to protect the envelope of the building. And so that's kind of the first phases of that $3 million capital project that we see in the near future and would really be kind of the minimal investment that the county would need to make to stabilize the building and prepare it for future occupancy. Then the remainder of that $3 million, we feel the best way to tackle that is in conversation with the legislature about the future disposition of the property. I think it's not realistic to expect the county to kind of take on that full share by itself, and we would work with you all to identify other partners that we can bring to help raise the capital that's needed to accomplish that $3 million project.
And is any, because I haven't seen it, is any of it being proposed for 21?
Yes, there is. Hold on, let me get it up in front of me and I'll tell you the number for 21. So I believe the number for 21 was about 500,000. Just as a kind of full disclosure, I think we're working on a capital project that'll come to you all later this month for consideration for the November session that will actually be some additional capital work this year. So we anticipate somewhere in the $250,000 to $350,000 or $400,000 range of initial capital that we should do this year to make sure that the heating is ready to go on and that the building envelope is protected from the weather throughout the winter. And then up to, and this is, you know, subject to further discussion as we put in future capital projects or amendments to that capital project, we're anticipating, or the capital project anticipates, another 500,000 or so in 2021.
Is this an addition to what we've already spent this year?
It is. Yes, it is. And I want to just stress that there's a point in 2021 when I can appreciate the need to make decisions about, do we want to keep investing as a county in this building or find other partners to make those investments? And so I say, you know, the capital program itself identifies 500,000 in additional capital investments in 2021. But I think that how much of that the county ends up on the hook for versus working with other partners to accomplish is an open question that we should discuss.
So that'll take us to a million before anything's even done with that. And so this is ramping up a building. Well, this goes back to a longer discussion, but it does raise some concerns, and I'm just putting it on your radar.
Yeah, appreciate that, Lynn.
And Chairman Cahill, if I can just...
Well, I think Chairman Donaldson had his hand up earlier.
Sorry.
Dave, you're good? Okay, so go ahead, Dr. Wright. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so I just want to just emphasize and maybe say a different way what Tim just said, which is that what we've laid out here in this capital project is everything that we think is going to be necessary to get it to that full occupancy point. So we really, you know, took it to heart that we needed to have everything on the table. But the anticipation is that some of that work we can get funded by other partners. Some of that work may be, you know, the responsibility of tenants who move in, who want to customize the space for themselves. So the thinking is not that the county is going to be paying for all of this. It's that we want to make sure that the full picture is on the table, and now we go out and start figuring out how the pieces are going to get paid for. And as we start talking about institutional arrangements and timelines, we can get into more of the detail on that.
Legislator Bartels, go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to, not necessarily tonight, but I do want to drill down on all the details surrounding Tech City and the proposals. One thing that concerns me, even just in the conversations this evening, is we're already talking tenants, which is a certain presumption of longer-term ownership. And I'm not clear that that's been decided. I've heard in different conversations a wide range of proposals for this building, including getting it back, you know, off on the tax rolls, which I know would be the case if we had tenants, but it was never my assumption that we were going to maintain an ownership status in this building regardless. Mm-hmm. So that's something that gives me pause, and I want to be certain that we're all on the same page moving forward in terms of what this project entails.
Yeah, I can just say that I understand, Tracy, and I think that's something that we certainly are open and going to have more discussion about. As I say tenants, you know, I think that it's just under the assumption that we all agree that occupancy of some sort in order to start getting it back on the tax rolls is a priority, and how we go about that and who owns it and who is responsible for those tenants is an open discussion that we still need to have. But it all of it requires some minimal investment to get the building, one, protected from deterioration, and two, up to minimum occupancy code standards. And so that's the, you know, that's the direction that this project suggests that we move in, and then takes it in steps that we can continue to discuss as we make determinations, obviously, with you all about the future disposition of the property.
Chairman Donaldson, then I'll come back to you, Tracy.
Yes, thank you, Evelyn, for your update on that. I believe the mindset has to be that, you know, we have to get the building to a point where we don't have to worry about it deteriorating. And I think tenants just merely mean that could be an owner. It doesn't mean to be we're renting it. I think all that is open for discussion at this point. But I think in order to get, even have the discussion, we have to have the building to a point where we don't need to worry about whether deteriorating it or whatever else is going to happen to it. And at that point, I think we need to have a serious discussion as we go along. We can start having those discussions now, in fact, for that matter. About where we're going with that. And I mean, the economic development group that put together for the Ulster 2040, I think, you know, they may have some ideas for the building. And we may be able to do, I would like to see, you know, perhaps, you know, working with the Ulster 2040 group, some of them, and along with some legislators getting together and actually do a collaborative effort to, you know, push this, you know, push forward. So we can all be enthusiastic behind whatever we're doing.
Yeah, Tracy, go ahead. Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you. In terms of protecting the structure from deterioration, what structural analysis, engineering analysis? I mean, do these analyses exist, and can they be shared with the legislature to show both the immediate priorities and then the priorities as they extend out over the years if we maintain ownership?
So I can I think what I can share is the details that went into the kind of next level of detail in the capital project that was presented in the capital budget, so you can see where those numbers come from. And I think you'll see that the immediate needs are things that are we have very capable DPW buildings and ground staff who know that building well enough to know that there are certain things that need to be done before this building can withstand the winter. And in particular, that's making sure that we can have, protect egress and access to the building, make sure that it's safe to get in and out of it, make sure that the sprinkler system, which is ready to activate, is continued to be maintained and that it's ready to go if it's needed. There's stuff that, is kind of basic stuff that we can share. And it's obvious that as we get further into this and whoever is the responsible party who has to take on these bigger improvements in the out years, there's more engineering work, more architectural work, more of that kind of planning and design work that will need to be done at that stage. So I would hope that as I share that list of the initial stuff that makes up the first year or so of the project, you'll see items there that are pretty obvious to you as well, that these are things that really need to be done in the short term.
These were in-house estimates, though, done by, like Tim said, our buildings and grounds department, not hired out engineering reports, et cetera. For the most part, correct, Tim?
Yep.
But some of the expenditure in the later phases entails getting an engineering assessment. Yep. So that's down the road.
Okay. Thank you.
Legislator Uchitel?
Yeah, I just want to, echo and build on Chairman Donaldson's comment. I think a number of us on the legislature, perhaps everyone on the legislature, sees a potential for a vision to be developed in one format, and we might disagree about some of the different specifics of it, but I would just encourage those on the executive team that are involved in this to really bring us into that conversation on the vision and begin that conversation on the vision so that we're not, having the experience on the legislative side of being kind of nibbled to death by ducks, so to speak, as we keep kind of doing these individual pieces, which we wouldn't argue against needing to happen. But, for those of us that are looking forward to getting excited about something happening there, it would be really helpful to, be part of that process and to let that vision carry us forward rather than the kind of piecemeal repairs that need to happen to stabilize it. So, I appreciate that we're early in the conversation, and I just ask that you don't lose sight of that bigger picture, which I know you're thinking about, but please include us as well.
Thank you, Legislator Uchitel. Anyone else have any comments or questions? Dr. Wright?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Abe for that. I think we had an initial vision conversation with a few of you on one of the leadership calls. I think that was last month, and we're eager to continue that conversation. I think we really put our effort over the last month into really nailing down these numbers with DPW so we could give you a complete picture of what we thought the capital needs were, but definitely want to switch gears now back into the vision and those institutional arrangements that we started talking about last month.
All right, great. Everybody good?
Legislator Cahill, Chairman Cahill, if I could just say, in addition to what Evelyn just said, that, and to respond to Legislator Uchitel, that there's a lot of work that needs to happen in this building, and some of it is not sexy. And so that's the stuff that I think we're talking about first, and fully appreciate that as we think about the vision for the future of this building and what that looks like, that's a conversation that you all should be, and I'm glad to hear, want to be a part of. So that's great.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, and thank you for the presentation, and welcome to the team, Tim, and good luck.
Thanks.
And the woman behind you there, Lisa, thank you very much for your time here so far, and we'll be seeing you in a new role on this very committee. So thank you and good luck, and we'll see you soon. Thank you. So next up will be planning, and Director Ahmed suggested that we share the budget on the screen so we can follow along. If Dennis, is that okay with you if we do that?
Sure, that's
and,
fine.
And Fawn, are you ready to do that for planning? And you're muted.
I think I have it set up so she can share.
Oh, so then, okay. So you were going to do it so they could share. So I guess, let me see if I can do this then.
I don't have her budget, so.
Well, oh.
I thought she wanted.
Are we doing planning first?
I think the request.
We're doing planning first right now, yeah.
I think the request was just for UCAT.
Right, so we can.
I have a presentation as well, Mark. So, Fawn, okay. I sent you my presentation as well.
You
said? Do you have that?
Okay,
I sent you my presentation this afternoon.
I'm sorry, I did not see that. Let me.
So then, while you're doing that, we'll skip over to UCAT because they're next anyway, and we'll come back to planning after that. Is that okay? Everybody agree to that?
Hold on. I thought I was after Dennis, so.
Oh, you're not ready? Okay.
Give me one minute.
Take your time. Take your time. We only have a few other things to do tonight.
I mean, I could share my screen if she doesn't have it.
Hang on. I've just got to. Desktop. Okay. And there you go.
Hey, there we go. Okay. Thank you. And Director Doyle, go right ahead.
Sure. So I thank you for the opportunity to present the budget of 2021 proposed budget to the committee. We really appreciate it. As you can say, this is the first of a slide. If you want to flip through those slides, one, yeah. I wanted to give you a sense of what our current staffing is. We currently have 7 staff. They're divided into major areas that the county planning department works in. One is transportation. The other is on special projects. We do a lot of special projects, a lot of them with the legislature, and certainly a lot of in coordination with other departments. We also have a responsibility for land use and demographics. So land use responsibility is statutory, and it supports it's support for the county planning board, which reviews land use decisions for all the municipalities in the county. We do a number of housing activities more recently than we have in the past, but we have a continuing responsibility with respect to community development block grants. We also do an annual housing rental survey, and as well as other activities with respect to housing, including a housing rehabilitation program for community development block grant, a current housing homeownership, and we recently stood up with respect to COVID-19 an emergency rental assistance program. The other thing that we also do is we support a number of county capital programs and capital projects, including, as you may be aware, the fire training center, which we supported. And in the future, we're currently supporting a veterans cemetery work. And we're working with the Office of Emergency Management with respect to their needs for a emergency tower facility and a radio facility in Saugerties. And additional towers that they're going to be needing up in the Shandaken and areas in Tonsi Mountain. We do support the Ulster County Farmland Protection Board, so we do agricultural work as well. And we also support something under the housing thing called a continuum of care, which is a HUD creation. And some of our fees for professional services go to those supports. Next one. So this gives you a breakdown of the budgets in terms of where we are for individual areas. So administration is about $60,000, land use and demographics about $100,000, housing is about $104,000, special projects is $119,000. So how do we spend the budget? This is how we spend the budget that you give us, and you can see that transportation, there's a vast amount of money spent in transportation. However, that's 95% reimbursable from the federal government. And we actually get more reimbursements than our inner budget because we actually be able to be reimbursed for our benefits and for space that the Transportation Council uses in the county building. And that's why that's a negative number in terms of county share. Next. Just real quickly, this will give you the pie chart, and you can see about 48% of the budget is in transportation, and the other ones are purely equally divided between land use, housing, and some of the special project work. Next. So I wanted to give you a sense of what, when we talk about transportation, what we really mean when we have that conversation. The County Planning Department is host agency for something called the Ulster County Transportation Council. It's a federal creation. It's a metropolitan planning organization. We have the responsibility for programming federal funds on that are being used in the county, as well as doing something called a unified planning work program. We also have responsibilities to essentially do a long-range transportation plan. We just completed the long-range transportation plan update in September. We're currently working on the graphics of that document, but the document itself and the recommendations in it have been adopted. We have a number of ongoing studies, a road safety analysis, which is currently countywide. That should be done by the end of the year. We do an annual traffic monitoring program. We are currently involved in the New Paltz area doing a Walk Hill Valley Rail Trail opportunity study for the community. We anticipate that would be done by the end of the year. Again, the Village of Ellenville Wayfinding Project, that should be done by the end of the year. We've engaged with UCAT with respect to the needs for their fleet storage. We're doing an analysis of their fleet and their storage capabilities and a place to put that storage facility. We're currently looking at areas in and around Golden Hill for that. That study just got underway. We are just had a kickoff meeting today with respect to a UND corridor trail feasibility study up in the Shandaken area. And then in our unified work program, since we are funded on a state fiscal year, our unified work program needs to be adopted by the end of March, and it becomes active on April 1 with the state fiscal year. We currently have this year's work program, we currently have a Route 9W study in the town of Ulster for congestion management. We have a City of Kingston rail safety analysis, and we also have a resiliency study in the transportation system. And part of the monies in our capital program and in our fees for professional services will go to make sure that we have enough money for these to do these projects. UCTC issues the call for projects in December for its UPWP program. And then we run from, as I said, from April to March. Next. So special projects, you've all seen us that we do special projects. One of the things that we've done is the Ashokan Rail Trail Project, Midtown Linear Park, Kingston Rail Trail. So we've been involved in those projects. The Ashokan Rail Trail, we're doing through final closeout on that trail. We still have an open SWIP up there, a stormwater pollution prevention plan. The Midtown Linear Park, we anticipate that we're going to go to construction in spring of 2021. We currently are looking for right-of-way clearance on that. We've had some issues with respect to right-of-way, mainly because we have to find heirs and assigns from back in the 1930s. We're currently going through a right-of-way discussion on the Kingston Rail Trail, and we also anticipate that will go to construction in 2021. The Ulster County Public Safety Training Center, we're finishing that work up. We're working with DPW and Emergency Services to essentially complete the rehabilitation of the existing modular. We went back and looked at all of our options, and we currently are working on that effort right now. The public safety radio tower in the town of Saugerties, we finished our viewshed analysis. We're currently working on a public meeting with the Saugerties Planning Board, and anticipate coming to the legislature shortly, asking for a seeker determination for that project so that we can move it forward. We would hope that we would move to construction in 2021 for that project as well. Ulster County Veterans Cemetery, we funded the design of that. We ran into some issues relative to archaeological needs. We've completed some of our phase two archaeological work, and it looks like we will need to be doing a phase three archaeological study. The archaeological consultants are telling us that the site is usable, but we have to do what they call artifact recovery. We'll be back to the legislature for that increase in that capital project as well. The Tech City stuff you've talked about, we've been assisting the executive team with respect to strategy and vision. And then one of the things that we did, we are looking at is the need for an apportionment work in 2021 based on the 2020 census. And then we do use some money for capital program development that you are currently in the process of getting from the county executive. Next slide. Housing work, we've been engaged with the legislature quite often in 2020 with respect to housing work. We also do other housing work associated with that, including the management of that housing rehabilitation program I mentioned, and a $590,000 homeownership program. We did repurpose about $177,000 for housing rehabilitation. We did repurpose that to emergency rental assistance. We are reporting three major housing initiatives. One is the reuse of the jail on Golden Hill. We've been working with the Housing Action, the Housing Development Corporation. We're in the process of deciding on a proposed developer for that site. We also are working with the executive team and patterns on a housing action plan in the housing committee that was established between the executive and the legislature. We're doing an analysis of county properties for housing purposes as requested by the legislature. We're currently looking at some of the properties that are available in this year's auction. And then we have a continuing discussion with the city of Kingston with respect to the city, the suitability of expanding the city of Kingston land bank to a countywide land bank. We also have money in this year's budget to provide some funding for the Ulster County Housing Corporation. It's about $10,000 in the budget. Part of the needs for that is we think we may have to do some subdivision activity work, which would require some work relative to surveying. We also have to have some director's insurance because we have outside directors that are sitting on this committee that we need to protect. So we are in a process of looking at those budgets, and it's a prudent thing to include some money for the Housing Corporation. As we move through that process and the site ends up in the development mode, that money would get repaid to the county as part of the a fee from the developer that we choose. We also do the housing rental survey I mentioned about, and we advise communities on zoning and planning issues associated with housing. Next. Agriculture and open space. You're aware that we have supported the Farmland Protection Board on an annualized basis for the ag additions. One of the other things that we're going to be doing is Ag District Number 1, which is in the southeastern portion of the county in the Marlborough area, comes up for review this year. So we'll begin that 8-year review process. We'll be also looking at updating the Farmland Protection Plan. We had money in last year's budget. We did not use that money. It was returned on the basis of the budget cuts for 2020 as requested by the legislature and by the county executive's office. We're continuing to have an ongoing discussion with Ag and Markets with whether or not they will release any funds for the update of that. We did not include any revenue in our estimate for release of that funds, but if that revenue, we will apply for that grant if it becomes available. And that revenue would be a 50% match to any funds that the county expends. We've been working with the Department of Environment on the Lower Esopus work. This is part of an order on consent. The county is acting as fiscal agent, so this effort essentially does not cost the county any money. We act as a fiscal agent for an order on consent, and that money was deposited with Ulster County by DEP. And then I just give you a sense of where we sit in terms of some of the boards that the director sits on. Next slide. So land use and demographics, as I mentioned, the county planning board, the planning department supports the board. There's a 23-member board that's out there. We have an annual, we meet monthly to discuss various proposals that come in from municipalities that are required to come in front of the board on a statutory basis. The year before in 2019, we did about 230 land use referrals. We will probably be in the hundreds this year, but not beyond that. The referral process has been picking up over the last month. We're seeing quite a bit of housing referrals and a lot of small commercial development as well. We also work with municipalities on considerations such as short-term rentals, how to streamline regulatory review, inclusionary zoning and housing affordability, countywide design guidelines. We just completed last week, we just completed a seminar for the municipalities and local planning boards, which have training requirements on design guidelines, particularly with respect to density. We also conduct what we call gateway meetings with applicants that are before local boards and need local approvals as well as county approvals and state approvals. To bring all the parties together so that they can meet with us and sit around a table, or in this case, a Zoom meeting, to essentially have all of the various agencies weigh in on their proposals so they know what to expect and they know what studies they need to do. And also we do have some design suggestions and other opportunities to essentially meet with developers and architects. We do about two of those a month, sometimes more. A lot of the local attorneys and the applicants' attorneys really appreciate these kinds of reviews. Next slide. So we do quite a bit of capital program and project support. I mentioned those before. We have been the Veterans Cemetery, the radio system, the UCAT bus garage. So we do quite a bit of capital program support. We also work with a number of other projects, particularly DPW on some of their projects that relate to the Transportation Council. We do a lot of funding changes around and moving money around to make sure that projects that are being funded at the local level and being funded at the state level have adequate funding, including working with the City of Kingston on their most recent repavement on Hurley Avenue, the ongoing work with respect to repavement on a Beale Street and down in those areas on Wilbur Avenue. So we continue to move money around and look for funding opportunities to make sure that we can make sure our transportation system remains safe and efficient. Next slide. So this is a breakdown of our professional service fees. There's quite a bit of money. There's about $360,000 in professional service fees. This breaks the professional service fees down among the major areas. So you can see a vast majority of that, $250,000, is associated with the transportation. That's 95% funded. And in general, what we do with these professional service fees is we make the 5% match with staff, and the entire consulting cost is essentially covered by the federal government in those instances. We support Ulster County's continuum of care, which is a requirement if you're going to receive homeless assistance monies. That contract is an outside contract with RUPCO at this particular point in time. The continuum of care brings in roughly about $1.2 to $1.3 million in homeless services on an annualized basis. And as I mentioned previously, there is some money in here relative to the Housing Corporation so that we can have a budget for that corporation moving into 2021. The agricultural plan update is about $50,000, $49,500 here, but it's actually in the budget at around $59,000. And then the special projects reapportionment work is, and other special projects is $16,000 and change. And then the capital program support, and this is literally put in so that if there's a need to sort of basically implement a capital program, we have some money that we can do the necessary upfront scoping studies so that we know what that capital program is going to be, and that comes out of operating rather than comes out of the capital project itself before a capital project is established. Next slide. So I just wanted to give you an overview of the capital program and those items that are in the county's capital program that were the responsibility of the planning department. We have two new initiatives in the county program that the county executive, working with the legislature and also in discussions with others, has asked us to help sponsor. One is a new county broadband initiative. And this funding is requested to begin a feasibility analysis, basically to use as fixed wireless broadband to reach underserved and underserved areas in the county, and perhaps also in those areas where internet reliability is a challenge. We've had numerous discussions with the Wawarsing community about this. There are other needs relative to the Shandaken area. And when we looked at COVID-19, we actually did some work in the COVID-19 to work with school districts to see whether they could give us addresses of students that were having problems with internet. We're going to take that and begin an RFP process to bring someone on board to take a look and see if fixed wireless will work in these areas. We have done some initial GIS work on that so that we can get a sense in terms of what existing towers that are out there can serve as a fixed wireless base, and also what new towers would be needed to reach some of those underserved areas. The other thing that we ended up in a discussion with, I know the executive had a discussion with the legislative folks relative to how do we move forward some legislative initiatives that were not in the past in the capital program. So we added this to the capital program. It's community development program. This is an expansion of what was the shovel ready program. Program would be designed to assist community investments that would advance county goals. And provide matching funds. We want to make sure that the community has bought into some of this work and is willing to participate with the county. One of the things that's important to note is anytime we do these kinds of projects, we would have to have a bondable interest, which basically means we need a property interest in those. And we would not suggest that this program fund maintenance, ongoing maintenance, that needs for the communities, nor do we think it should fund or duplicate some of the other funding that are in our capital program. And what I mean by that, when you look in our capital program, there is funding in there for various shoulder work. There isn't funding in there for various bridges. And that can meet some of the needs that have been discussed relative to sidewalks or other types of things. So we wouldn't be doing that kind of work here. The ones that continue is the open space and recreation funds. These are funds for open space protection and expansion of public recreation opportunities. The stream management program, that's one of the ones that we continue to work with as a fiscal agent. And that's part of that order on consent that I mentioned before. The Midtown Linear Park and the Kingston Rail Trail, these are established capital projects, and they continue to hopefully move into construction in 2021. And then we have a transportation planning studies. This is just in case the Transportation Council decides to program additional monies that are not in our operating funds, that we can go to the capital program and show you that there's money available in the capital program for these additional studies. Next. I think that's it.
That's it.
Hopefully.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, thank you, Director Doyle. That is a lot to take in a short period of time. As usual, you do an excellent job of providing us with enough information to go forward and think about what's going on there. Is there anyone in the committee that has any questions for Director Doyle?
Is everybody?
Go ahead, Chairman Donaldson. Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to test everybody on the PowerPoint. I hope you remembered it all.
We'll have a test. Can we get a copy of the PowerPoint?
Well, I was just going to request that anyone who's made a presentation, please forward it around to the committee so we can take a look at it. Because I had a couple of questions that came up early on and I forgot them as we went on. So,
yeah, I gave it to Fawn, so she has it to send to the committee. And my apologies, Fawn. I know it was this afternoon. I was in Yonkers this morning, so my apologies for that.
So, does anyone on the committee have any questions for Director Doyle? Legislator Uchitel, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just not really a question as a request. Just as I noticed that you mentioned the land bank thing. There are a number of us on the legislature that are passionate about that, and I've actually when this came up with the city earlier in the session, that involved a fair bit of education between the legislature and the city, between myself and the mayor, and I just would ask that. I would like to be aware of that and you know serve in any way that I can in those conversations, but at least be aware so that I don't hear from them, you know, rather than from us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we certainly would appreciate that. I think right now that the difficulty right now is I think the Kingston Land Bank is extremely focused on one of I think over 30 properties that they currently have in their inventory, and they're trying to deal with those issues before sort of outreaching to others. I think it's important to note that we're looking at a workaround here, and the workaround would be essentially to try to. It doesn't enjoy the same protections, and you need to understand that. But the workaround would be similar to what we did with the Golden Hill property, would be to move property out of the auction into the county's hands and hold it, and then surplus it to the Housing Development Corporation, which you have, and then move it from there to those folks that essentially can redevelop those properties for affordable housing and or other uses that have community benefits.
Legislator Bartels, thank you for waiting.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for recognizing me. So a couple things. I'll start just since we left off on the land bank. I mean, and again, I know this is not exactly in terms of your budget, but I do hope that we're continuing to have the conversations about the possibility of creating a county land bank in collaboration with the city rather than using the city's land bank strictly as a workaround, because I think there's a lot to be gained in terms of the possibility of having a synergistic countywide land bank. I know that that would require the city's more than consent, cooperation. I mean, I think this is something we'd want to be doing together, but I hope that we're moving forward in that direction rather than just using
it. I think that's the exact direction we're going in.
Okay, fabulous.
That's the exact direction we want to go in.
Okay.
We don't want to work around in that instance. We really want to expand the city's land bank countywide, and that brings up a whole host of other questions in terms of what we bring to the table. It's about memberships. It's about mission. It's all of those things come into that, but we want to do this cooperatively with the city.
Absolutely. And I see tremendous possibility in that regard. So I hope that we can find a way to reach a joint end goal with the city on that. Forgive me if I get it wrong, because I don't have the presentation in front of me. I have a couple questions. I think it was related to your last slide, both the open space capital, in terms of the capital, the open space initiative. And then you referenced, did you say we're repurposing the shovel ready fund to be the community fund? Does that mean we're not doing shovel ready anymore?
We will do shovel ready under that guideline. We can do shovel ready under that guideline.
Okay, so yes, I would like to understand that better. And if now is not the moment, I can talk to you to later. I do want to understand that better, but I also want to ensure that in both instances, in terms of open space and in terms of any community program, because I know these both have been attempted before in the previous administration, that there's some kind of process created that's clear, that's transparent, and that's open and competitive. And in the one instance where we supported an open space, and Dennis, I know you were part of that conversation, all of a sudden there was a resolution, this is years ago, but there was a resolution before us to help support an open space initiative on a farm project. And it wasn't an issue of whether or not it was a worthwhile project. It was, how was this project chosen? And did everyone in the county know that these funds were available? And how did, was there a metric created to evaluate one project against the next? And that was, multiple legislators had that concern that these were things that were happening internally without a competitive process. So I just want to make sure that whatever we do in terms of the capital, that we have a transparent process.
And we've heard that loud and clear. And I think with the community development fund, it's actually written in that it would be a collaborative process between the legislature and the executive relative to what we're going to fund and why we're going to fund it. And those priorities may change from year to year. I think what we wanted to do with respect to that in the description in the capital program was make sure that we were advancing county goals. And that was one of the key things that's why that's mentioned. And on the open space plan and the recreation fund, we heard you loud and clear. We understand that.
And if I can just finally, I should have said it first. Thank you for the presentation and all that you do, Dennis. Presentation is very, very thorough. I mean, I'd like to have it to reference, but I want to thank you for all that the department does. I know that it's a big responsibility, and you do work across a broad spectrum in this county, and I, for one, am grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions or comments on the planning department? Okay, so then we'll move on to Director Ahmed for UCAT. And before she starts, I'm going to ask her if she could jump behind there and play a few songs on the drums for us there. Just kidding.
Well, COVID, I think, has definitely created a space shortage in some people's houses, including mine. And my husband's music studio is the only place that my 2-year-old son, who was on here earlier, couldn't find me, but I can actually hear him outside trying to make his way in. I want to thank the legislature for having us to present. And I did send a presentation to Fawn and Jay during this meeting, and I apologize for not getting that to everyone sooner. We actually yesterday just expanded our service to close to pre-COVID levels, and I'm going to get into that in just a second. But I wanted, I know Rick's not on here before anymore, but last year for our budget presentation, he went before us and had a PowerPoint. And I just remember Carol Hargrove looking at me and saying, we need to make sure we do that. So I wanted to thank him for giving me that. This week will actually mark 2 years for me with the county. And it's been an amazing experience. And I've actually been in public service now for 9 years, starting with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And I've been in government through Sandy and Irene and all these other disasters, but I don't think any of those things could have prepared anyone, but especially me, for taking on this role and encountering COVID. It's been illuminating for me to interact with staff having just assumed this role. I think I was only 2 months in when this started, and we're one of the few departments that continue to report to work, continue to provide service. And, you know, it's been, I can't really say it's been easy, but I think as a team, we've improved upon a lot of our internal communications and different things like that to try and make the best of a really bad situation for transit. I'm serving right now on the New York Public Transit Administration, NPTA, which is kind of the, it's kind of similar to NYSAC. I'm serving on as the chair of the Rural Transit Task Force and interacting with some of our peer agencies to figure out some of our best practices. And we've come a long way since March to determine what those are. But I think even today, there's no perfect solution for transit. And as I go through the presentation, you'll see the precipitous drop in ridership that we have. Jay or Fawn, do you need me to share the screen?
Well, I'm sorry. I thought I was sharing it. I'm having a problem here.
Well, we see something, but it's only like 2 lines of a spreadsheet.
All right.
A line of a spreadsheet. It doesn't look like you're getting the whole document in the screen.
Hang on. When I it looks good on my side.
If you stop sharing, I can actually share it. Oh, there we go.
That's much better. Thank you.
You seeing it?
Yeah, I see it. You can go to the next one. It's just the title slide. And I will, of course, share this with everyone. And this is very different from Dennis's. There are practically no numbers. So, and part of the reason for that is because of the uncertainty around one of our most important segments of our budget, which is our revenue. I'm going to start with where we are today with our COVID service level. As of yesterday, we have expanded almost to our pre-COVID levels. It took this long for many different reasons, not the least of which is that we have a driver shortage. And although we were approved to do some part-time hires, it's really difficult to hire bus drivers in a pandemic. And we are finally getting some people on board, but that made it difficult to go to our full service level. And then the other issue is people have had to, I'm going to knock on wood right now, we have not had any COVID cases on the part of the UCAT staff, which I'm really hoping and praying continues to be the case. But I am in working with the Emergency Operations Center, prepared for if that is, or if and when that happens. But people have had to quarantine. And when people quarantine in such a small agency, it means that there's no driver available. And because of DOT regulations, we can offer overtime only to a certain extent. And I personally worry about that just opens up the drivers to more opportunities to actually contract COVID. So, you know, the decision was made in conjunction with the county exec that we would have limited service throughout the summer, and we would try to work with people who are trying to go to and from work and give them kind of demand responsive service. But as of yesterday, and it went really well, I'm really proud of the team here at UCAT. There are some drivers that haven't driven the night shift in a long time, and they did a great job. And I was a little bit surprised that I didn't get any calls yesterday, but it's going well so far. So right now, you're required to wear a mask. We have them available to riders if they need it. We're trying to keep people socially distanced on the bus. Obviously, it's not easy. We do have full cleaning. We did have to do a cleaning bid that was much more expansive than we originally thought earlier this year, and that is built into our contractual services line for next year to keep up with that cleaning, and we have a cleaning company come every day. And the drivers also complete additional cleaning. You can go on to the next one. So in addition, thanks to our Emergency Operations Center and the Department of Health, our drivers can go get tested at Golden Hill, which is really a godsend because we can send them right away if there's an issue. If they have a temperature from their daily temp check, we can send them right away. And the turnaround time is pretty good there, unlike some of the other places that sometimes take much longer. And we also provide masks, gloves, and sanitizer to all of the employees. Can go to the next one. So earlier in this year, and I know that was through resolution, we did receive nearly $5 million of CARES Act funding, and that is going to be applied towards our operation from January 20th forward for 2020. Some of it will hopefully carry us over into 2021, so that will offset county share. And this is federal funds based on our formula or urbanized area, and we also got rural transit funds. So hopefully some of that will carry us into the first quarter of 2021. We're hopeful, well, I wrote this before today, but we're hopeful for a second stimulus. And I know that this picture here is actually Congressman Delgado did do a visit with some of our staff. We had a very distant roundtable back in August, and he has committed to more funding through our ability to request rural transit 5311 funds. So I'm a little bit nervous, like everyone, about the census because that may change our formula funding, but I did have a conversation with a member of Dennis's staff, Brian Slack, and he mentioned that it does not seem like we would lose our urbanized area funds. You can go to the next one. So as I mentioned, some of the CARES Act money will be carried forward. Most of our expenses are held flat. The one line item that I did notice is less than this year is our maintenance line. And one of the reasons for that is we are expected to get three new transit buses before the end of the year. I'm really hopeful that supply lines and assembly lines are bidder right now is Gillig, which is an American transit company based in California. They did shut down briefly, but I know that they're back to work and they have promised delivery before the end of the year. But obviously in a pandemic, some promises are a little bit looser than usual. And our most variable line item, this budget was difficult to prepare because still today, we don't know what's happening with our state funds. The good news today, I didn't get to do resolutions for this cycle because we just got it about 10 days ago, but we did get capital money from NYSDOT for 2021. So that was really, really welcome news because we weren't sure what was going to be happening with that. I'm gonna get to the next slide, and that's kind of the one that's a little bit nerve-wracking. Our funding from the state is dependent on ridership. And this is not something that's specific to UCAT. MTA also has a decline of nearly 75 to 70% in ridership. And as you can see, we're kind of in that same, same boat. There's some routes that are almost, decimated in terms of ridership. For example, the route that runs between SUNY Elster and SUNY New Paltz. Has one to two riders, but the catch-22 there is the other component of our formula for state funding is miles. So if you don't run, like we didn't run throughout the summer, you're missing out on that mileage reimbursement. So for this year, NYSDOT is keeping us at 2019 levels, but they still haven't said what's going to happen for 2021. It was built into the budget for next year that there could be a 20% decline in those funds. But the one good thing is that last year, the STOA formula, it's called State Operating Assistant formula, was increased. And that was based on a rental car tax. So rental cars are doing great in New York. So hopefully the legislature, the state legislature, doesn't change how that funding's allocated to us. So I am hopeful that we will be okay. And we are starting to kind of think ahead on how do we kind of grow our ridership in the next year to a sustainable level. I think it's going to take a long time for it to get back to where it was. But there are a lot of new people in the county. I think the budget overall showed that. And just kind of anecdotally, I know some of them are from New York City and probably used to using mass transit, and, you know, a push to kind of get those people to use the UCAT system, especially within the city of Kingston, is really important to us as an agency. The last slide I have is about our capital projects, which is always a good note to end on. You know, through COVID and through all the challenges that we faced, we were able to continue with these capital projects, and that is really a testament to the other departments, especially the Department of Environment and the Planning Department, that kind of kept us on track with those projects. The number one project is the electric buses. The procurement process is complete. We're just working out some last final steps in the funding for the actual buses. I know I see, you know, Tim, Evelyn, Mark, I think there's a few people that have been actually had the opportunity to ride the electric buses during the procurement process, and even before when they were demoed here at UCAT and within the city of Kingston. So we went with New Flyer as our vendor. It's an American company as well, and it's based in Alabama, and they also have a facility here in New York. So the anticipated delivery for these won't likely be until the end of next year, and we're hoping to wrap up the contract process by the end of this month. The other project that it goes hand in hand with that is our bus charger infrastructure project, and that is moving along quickly. We've had walkthroughs that's administered right now by the New York Power Authority, and in conjunction with the Department of Environment, and Nick Vazda, the deputy there, has really taken the lead on that. And I'm really thankful because he's an engineer and I don't always have much input to give. So, but it's really been a joint effort through, we also have someone on site from DPW who knows a lot about our facility and about the transformers that are on site at Golden Hill. And then our last kind of usual capital project is our bus replacement program. So as I mentioned before, we have 3 Gillig Transit buses coming in at the end of the year, and then we just have to replace under FTA, Federal Transit Administration rules, the buses that have reached the end of their useful life. We have federal funds for the next year, and we have some state funds now. What the future holds beyond that is pretty unknown. In addition to the uncertainty around the state funds, our federal enabling legislation also expired, the FAST Act. So I am hopeful that in the next, you know, iteration of Congress, there will be a focus on continuing or sustaining the levels that we have. Transit encompasses a huge sector of the automotive industry. So I just, you know, it usually doesn't matter the party in power. You know, it's usually been funded. Obviously different regulations come through when there are our changes to the legislation. Other than that, the last slide I have on there is just everyone's contact information. Toni couldn't join us tonight, but she has been really a godsend for me because she's so knowledgeable about operations and just a lot of institutional knowledge about the county and the city. So I've definitely been leaning on her. And then there's all of our numbers. If any of your constituents need dispatch scheduling for our senior rides, our paratransit, if you go back to the slide with ridership, our paratransit is down because I think a lot of programs like at Gateway and other things that are used on a regular basis, I realize that I don't actually have that broken out here, so I misspoke, but our paratransit is operating at about 50% ridership as usual. So that's the service that's available to people with disabilities and people who maybe cannot use the fixed route bus system. So I think I've been talking a lot, so I am happy to take any questions that you guys have.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you taking the time, giving us a thorough overview. And also just want to commend you on the, you know, working through this very, very difficult time. Public transportation, I think, probably took it on the chin more than anything, with the exception of maybe movie theaters. I can't think of anything that was affected more by COVID than transportation. So thank you for hanging in there and trying to keep everything afloat. And right, I'm glad to hear that we're back to full service now. And let's hope that the riders come back very quickly. Is there anyone on the committee that has any questions for the director? Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, again, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. And I'm sure if anyone has any questions, we'll reach out. Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian, you're on mute.
Muted myself accidentally. Sorry about that. Yeah, so that concludes the budget presentations for tonight. So we're going to move on to the resolutions. I just want to state that for those that joined after the meeting started, what I plan on doing is going through all the resolutions and leaving the deviated pilot for last because there's only a few resolutions. I think we only have four resolutions total. And so we'll go through the other three and then we'll do the deviated pilot last for those that are on call for the other ones and don't want to hang around for that. So we'll start. And by the way, there'll be no public comment in this meeting tonight for those that joined late. We're going to reserve public comment on any of the resolutions in this committee for the legislative session. Thank you. So we're going to go to Resolution 232, which is calling for issuance of an extended moratorium on evictions and rent relief during a state of emergency. Hold on a second. Legislator Bartels?
We need to move for discussion. So Lynn moved.
Move for discussion. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Second?
Second that.
All right. Second. Legislator Bartels?
I'm sorry. You know, I've been contemplating pulling this, but can I just ask that we postpone it one more time while I determine if there's something else we can do? I feel pretty confident based on legal advice that we can't do this as written, but I'm still trying to figure out if there's something that we can do. So
okay, I'll make a motion we postpone it. Our legislator Litz?
I was going to make the motion to postpone it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The next resolution will be 333, which is authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Education Department's Adult Career and Continuing Education Services, Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment and Training for reimbursement through the Work Tryout Program for Federal Fiscal Year 2020. That is a mouthful. And amending the 2020 Ulster County Budget Office of Employment and Training. I got to get to the rest of it. Oh, there you go. I'll accept the motion. Okay. Second?
Second.
All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So then the third one tonight will be Resolution 348, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $23,474.50, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for Asset Works LLC for information services.
I'll move it.
Okay, Chairman Donaldson, second.
I'll second it for discussion.
Legislator Litz, okay, anyone have any questions or comments on this? Okay, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. Thank you.
Cahill?
Yeah.
I just got tripped up by the moving the order. On Resolution 333, I was actually intending to abstain.
Okay. Well, I think we can. Go ahead.
Is it too late for that, Fawn?
No. Okay. As long as the committee meeting is still in order, you can do that, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thanks for pointing that out, Legislator Uchitel. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Sorry. It snuck up on me faster than I expected.
That's okay. Resolution 349, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $68,778.39 entered into by the county for Tyler Technologies and for the Information Services Department. Someone moving?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion?
I was just curious if we could just hear really quickly what the reason for the increase was, because this being fleet services, I would imagine there's less fleet activity, and I just didn't know if this is the resolution I'm thinking it is.
Well, the previous one, Asset Works, was the previous resolution, which was 348. So that is a standard increase for Asset Works, which is a countywide fleet management, which is inclusive of DPW, Central Auto, UCAT, which basically used to track vehicle maintenance, and it's an extension of the contract and an increase for 1 year of the software support and maintenance for Asset Works. Similarly, for 349, that is for Tyler Technologies, the Munis system. That's our human resources and payroll software maintenance, as used by personnel, finance, and other departments for tracking employee payroll, et cetera. Again, that's just an increase in support and maintenance for that software package.
I apologize. This was moved by Donaldson and seconded by
Uchitel. Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, so then that brings us to our last resolution of the evening. And I'm going to read this. So this is resolution number 328, which is approving the deviation by the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency related to the terms and conditions of a certain pilot agreement to be entered into between the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency and Kingstonian Development LLC in connection with the Kingstonian Development LLC project and the undertaking of the project under the agency's housing policy. I'll accept the motion to move it.
Motion.
I'll move it.
All right, so we have a motion by Legislator Corcoran, the second by Legislator Donaldson. Any comment, or do we just call the vote? Just kidding.
Nice try, Brian. Yeah,
Legislator Archer.
Thank you. As some of you know, maybe most of you know, I made an appeal to the IDA. I really believe that this is a complicated project. And I really believe strongly that the IDA needs to do a third-party review. And in fact, the county exec came out supporting that perspective. And at this juncture, I don't think we should move on this until we get the findings of a third party review.
Chairman Donaldson?
Yes, I mean, this, you know, this third party review, I believe is in the process of taking place. I've had conversations with the county executive yesterday, and I had a conversation with Deputy Executive Milgram, and the process is taking place, and they should have that by next week. And it was a last minute thing that gets thrown in. And I mean, right now we've had, you know, the East Square is up and we put in affordable housing there. The almshouse is being built as we're speaking and it's going up rather quickly, the almshouse project, more affordable housing there. Our LDC has been meeting and, you know, we have been, you know, looking at proposals and visiting sites. And that's going to be various housing, you know, more affordable housing. And this project here in uptown New, Kingston is a more of a market rate, but it does have 10% affordable housing. And the IDA, of course, is sort of an independent body because we appoint them to be independent, an independent body. That's what we do. That's why we went through the process of appointing people to make sure that they were independent. And what their job was is to run these numbers. And I believe they have run those numbers. They use their software with that. I do not think that this should be held up at this point. It's still got to go through Ways and Means. We have a meeting of Ways and Means on Tuesday. If the report's not there and we're not satisfied yet, we can postpone it to the following Tuesday. I don't think this thing should be keep lingering on and on. As a result, I think it makes sense for us to pass it out of this committee. It's still got other areas to go to before we actually accept it. And like I said before, the county is moving forward and there is going to be an independent analysis of the deviated pilot. It's going to complement or it will counter what the LDC, I mean, what the IDA has more or less done in their independence. And we have a number of people on the IDA, such as Rick Jones, that we all know that is, you know, pretty much a stickler for looking at numbers. And so is a few other members. So what I'm saying is I don't think we should be holding that up in this committee when, in fact, we put it on the agenda for a vote at the floor of the legislature. And anybody can vote any way they wish by whatever information they choose to use. I agree with the independent analysis. That's if we can get this done in a timely fashion. I had that conversation with the county executive yesterday. And I've also had the conversation with Deputy Executive Milgram. And Deputy Executive Milgram assured me that they are, working, and they have someone that's starting that independent review. And they are, hopefully, that will be done early next week.
Legislator Archer, then I'd like to put my own hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I appreciate the things that you've said, Chairman. But first of all, we're the Economic Development Standing Committee. It comes here first because it is about economic development in the county. You're asking this group to make a decision without all the facts. There has not been an independent review done by the IDA. They've taken and used their software system to take the data and the numbers that have been given to them by the developer. This is not an independent review. This is data and numbers, and this is trust but verify. I mean, the reality is that a third party will come in and look at it in a very different way. And they will test the numbers. And that's the whole point of a third party to do that. And so why, as economic development, would we vote something out of committee when we don't have all the facts? And quite frankly, what we have before us are general terms that was agreed to by the IDA, but they haven't done a final vote on this pilot. So we're kind of seeing it in mid-stride. And all I'm asking for is, look, the first presentation I had on the numbers was last Tuesday. So having something been sitting out here for a long time, I will say that the actual group determined that they didn't want to bring it before the prior RDA board. So any delay is not by us, but it's by the developer themselves in wanting to wait till they felt comfortable they had all their ducks in a row to go before a new IDA board. So all I'm saying is give us the courtesy of not trying to rush through something as the body, as economic development, the committee that should be looking at these things. I support responsible economic development. All I'm asking for is a third-party review before we're asked to make a decision on something. That's informed legislation. That's not just rushing to do something because somebody wants a pilot. Thank you.
Chairman Donaldson, I'll let you go, and then I'm going to go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can also look at it as paralysis by analysis. I mean, the IDA has done their work, their due diligence in this. And as a result, they come up with a deviated plan, and that's what's before us. And we are doing the analysis. The analysis will be done, and as an outside item. And I realize maybe you don't trust that the IDA did their work.
Don't put words in my mouth, Chairman. Do not put that. That's
okay,
really.
Please wait. Please wait, Legislator Archer.
I will, as long as someone doesn't put words in my mouth.
This is not the presidential debate. We're going to have one legislator speaking at a time, please. Thank you.
And you were given the information probably close to a year ago. You sat down with the developers and they pointed out some of these things. And to say you didn't have any of this information is false. And I realize that, you know, you come up with this idea. I didn't know anything about it, that you had to have this independent analysis. And it to me, it's starting to look like death through 1,000 cuts. And, you know, sometimes we do have to have some faith in the idea, because right now we've got, like I said, E Square. We've got the almshouse. Our LDC is putting together things, and these are market housing, yes, with 10% of affordable housing. And the numbers are there, and I believe they bear out, at least the way when I ran through them, they bore out why they needed this. And as a result, the independent study by next week will also, I believe, will bear that out. And to tie it up for another month or two, makes no sense to me, because it already can be tied up. It goes before the Finance Committee yet, and the Finance Committee can have cracks at it. They can have a crack at it on Tuesday. They can have another crack at it on the Tuesday after that. So it's not being rushed. This thing has been a project that has been talked about for I don't know how long. This is the third attempt at this type of a project in Uptown Kingston. And I believe it's going to be transformative. And just like the almshouse, E Square is becoming transformative. And just like that LDC and our LDC that's going to put housing on Golden Hill. And as somebody that has lived here all my life, I want to see this transformation.
You would have to finish when I was taking a sip of tea. Thank you. So there's a couple of things here. We did receive, I emailed to the committee the analysis, the cost benefit analysis that the IDA ran. Although it doesn't have every bit of the finances available to what an independent one will get, hopefully, gives you an indication of where it sits. And it looks like it comes into just under, somewhere around 2.7 to 1 in benefit of the government, right? So I'm not basing my opinion on that. I'm just saying that to me, that's a pretty good indicator of what this project is bringing forward. Secondly, I'm going to ask Deputy Milgram if he wouldn't mind helping us out here and letting us know if we are going to see an independent cost-benefit analysis prior to the next Ways and Means Committee, or at least prior to the second Ways and Means Committee before our session.
Chairman, thank you. I'm actually going to defer to Tim, who's actually taking point on this right now. I know he's been in discussions, but Tim, if you could just chime in, if that's all right, Chairman. Sure.
So I guess, can you, Mr. Chairman, remind me of the schedule for those Ways and Means meetings so I can confirm or deny?
yes, I believe it. Go ahead, Tuesday. Lynn. You would know the answer, I guess.
The meeting is Tuesday, and then again, as Lynn will point out, then they meet again Tuesday after that.
So it would be the 13th of October and then the 20th of October.
So, I think it's probably everyone understands an accelerated timeline for any project to try to work in a week or a week and a half. And so I think we've had discussions with NDC that suggest that they can have this done by the end of next week. So it would look that would mean that it would be not before your first of those two Ways and Means Committee meetings, but before the second of them.
Thank you. And so I'm just going to go back to kind of reiterate what Chairman Donaldson said. I think that, we as a legislator, as a legislature, we still have an opportunity to have our input into this prior to it going to the floor for an entire legislature vote. But I also believe that, we can move it forward to the next stage. So we're not holding it up if the cost benefit analysis does come back in favor of government and the county and the school district and the city of Kingston, because I think that's a little bit unfair to the developers who have spent so much money and so much time trying to get to this point. And, like the way I like to refer to it, and most of you have heard me say this before, but I can't tell you how much I despise being 80% down the runway and then having someone say, oh, we're not taking the trip. I don't like that. I think it's unfair to the committee. I think it's unfair to the people who have spent so much time and energy on this project, and the people in the IDA who have worked on it, the city of Kingston, who has already approved it. And I think that, as Chairman Donaldson said, this is not new news. This was a something that's been around for a year. And obviously, if the folks who thought that a cost benefit analysis would be an important aspect of this, well, I'm sure they thought of it a few months ago, right? Or 6 months ago when the project was started taking on some increased energy and looked like it was going to come before us. I think we all knew that this project was going to come before us at some point in this year, right? And to wait till the 11th hour, I just think is disingenuous. I don't like it. And I'm going to tell you, as the committee chair, I'm going to stand up right now and say this is the second time that this has happened on very crucial issues where we've had a single legislator interject a thing into this committee that delays it. And I don't like it. And so, by the way, I wasn't involved in the conversations that took place between two legislators and the company that's going to do this study, right? And again, we're a committee, just like I said for the IDA board, we're a committee. And if there's anything that's going to take place, we do it as a committee. And I'm just going to tell you right now that my vote is going to be to pass this tonight. And if the Ways and Means Committee wants to look at this a little further, then go right ahead. Legislator, you should tell.
So, just to be clear, Legislator Archer is not the only legislator that would like to see this review happen and would like to be able to digest it. This is the district that I represent. I'm very, very familiar with the space there. I worked across the street for many, many years, and I care dearly, as all of us do, especially those of us that represent Kingston, about the growth that Kingston has had, that Uptown Kingston has had, and how transformative it has been. This is the first night that this committee has this resolution to review this. I was appraised of more specific numbers in the last week, and I would like to have those verified by a third party. The work that the IDA does to put the numbers into their process is the numbers that are provided, and I don't sense anything sinister with him at all, but I would feel a lot more comfortable about something that, to the, you know, to Chairman Donaldson's point, is absolutely going to be transformative for my district, to feel really confident in that. And I'm just not at that level of confidence tonight.
Legislator Archer, go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of things I'd like to address. First of all, remarks at the public hearing for the IDA, I recognized all the work that that group has done. And I said as much. And I do believe that for them to take it to the next level, for them to ensure that they're looking at a project and a project as complex as this. This is not just a housing project. It is not just a retail sales project. It's not just a boutique hotel and a structured garage. It is all of those things, and it's complicated. And I think they'll be the first ones to even acknowledge that that level of complexity with their application is difficult. It's not just one standard project. So I am not negating the work that's been done. I applaud all the work that's been done, and I applaud all the efforts, even on the new folks, to get familiar with this project. So again, I appreciate the work they've done, but I also appreciate the fact that we are being asked to make a decision without all the facts and without a verification. Yes, a year ago, the group came to us and gave us a preview of their thinking, but there's been many iterations of that very project along the way, in talking with the city, in talking with the school district, and many meetings with the IDA, first with the first board, now with this board. So to say that I had a general sense, and of course, as I said the other night, I'm supportive of responsible economic development, but I'm also responsible to the taxpayers of this county. And before I would vote for something, I'd want a full review and an opportunity to digest it, instead of having it be shoved down our throats in a quick time frame because the developer had chosen to delay when they were bringing it before us. I want to support Kingston. I want to support those efforts, but I also want to ensure that what we're approving is we have all the facts. We're not just doing it by the seat of our pants. And that, I'm sorry, is what is, I believe, is important, not to slow it down, but to ensure we're informed and we have all the information with which to make an informed decision. And as to the comment about not including you, you and I, Brian, had a conversation to bring that to this table tonight in a very different tone. Really, Chairman, I'm very disappointed in that. That's all I have to say.
Well, we did have a conversation, and it was post your meeting with the company that's going to be doing this study with another
legislator. What did I say to you? I said it was an exploration of information. In no mm-hmm. way were we doing anything without coming back to you.
Right. So my point is that it's not just me.
It happened within 12 hours, Brian. Mm-hmm. And now we want to re-adjudicate that conversation in front of everyone. Fine.
Well, no, that's not my point. My point is
want to say.
Okay. So my point is very simply that, you know, I've been running this committee as a committee, and I respect that every person on this committee has a voice, and I try and include every committee member in everything that I get and cross my desk. I pass it along as soon as I get it, right? And you know, the idea that that we didn't have an opportunity to talk about this as a committee prior to you bringing it to the committee was my point, okay? And my point still remains, right, that we've had plenty of time to look at this, and we've had plenty of time to bring up an issue like this up to today, because I have the floor. Excuse me. You know, I believe that we knew about the range of the pilot probably 4 months ago, at least 3 or 4 months ago. I believe we did, and I know that some of us have met one-on-one or in groups with these developers over the last 4 or 5 months prior to COVID. Right. Some of us have met with these developers where they presented these numbers to us. So there was plenty of time for people to take this type of action. I'm not saying that I don't want to see it. Of course I want to see it. But what I'm saying is I want to see it, but we have an opportunity to still move this resolution forward tonight, still see that information, and not to delay the developer any longer. That's all. Chairman Donaldson and then Legislator Archer.
Yes. Well, I knew nothing about the conversations that you're talking about. And the independent study, I have no problem with that. But it would have been nice if somebody wanted, if they wanted to do this independent study and, you know, question the IDA, that's fine. I don't, you know, it's always better to have double and triple checks, I guess. But the point is that it could have been done, I talked about 2 months ago, whatever, because these things have been going on, and we could have actually made the comment, let's do an independent study. And you know, once the pilot comes out, have the independent study. So we are going to be doing this independent study, even though it's a last minute thing, and that's fine. I mean, I applaud the idea. I had that conversation, like I said, with the county executive. And, you know, his concern was, you know, people are, you know, throwing dispersions where there really isn't dispersions. And we need to make sure that there is, everything is on the up and up, that the numbers work. And that's the whole point. And so we're bringing in a very reputable group that, of course, I believe that kind of gotten brought in by a legislator or two. So I don't know what those connections are, but the point is that they're going to come in, and as Tim Wiedemann said, they will have that information by the end of next week. You'll have time. Hopefully, you get them on Thursday or Friday. You can digest them over the weekend to see that what the numbers are, and then we can make a vote on the night of the legislature to move it forward. Or, you know, or we say those independent numbers make it look like it's a terrible deal, so therefore we can't move it forward. So, the idea here is this committee can move it forward. It's still having two more, another check, and then a check on it after that, because on the floor, you vote on it. It's like when we get to the Finance Ways and Means Committee, it'll be voted on its merits. Whether you accept it or you don't, it'll be based on the information that you have or don't have.
Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A vote tonight only moves it out of this committee to the floor. It can always be defeated at the floor. We have couple of weeks to get whatever information we need. I request you call the question.
Go ahead, Legislator Archer.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. The first opportunity that I have seen, the last iteration of numbers was on Tuesday. I had concerns when I looked at it. I spoke with a fellow legislator, DeLon. And the conversation was a very innocent, well, what, you know, we both had some concerns, and I won't speak for Jim, I'll let Jim speak for Jim, about the numbers. And it was a very, the minute we thought of a third party review, Legislator DeLon picked up the phone and called both you, Chairman, and you, Chairman Cahill, about it. So to act like anybody was trying to do a last minute, I really resent that that's the way it gets positioned. We all are working hard to try and move things forward, but I think we should at least paint them in a fair and equitable way versus drawing and casting aspersions. I'm not looking to do that. I'm looking to ensure that for the taxpayers of this county, we are spending our money appropriately, and that there is a balance between the developer making money on this and the benefit to the taxpayer. That's all I'm asking for, and I don't think that's unreasonable.
So Legislator Litz has called the vote. So we're going to do a vote, I guess, right now. Okay, so
if you don't mind, I'd like to respond slightly.
Okay, so this will be the last comment, unless anyone on the committee who hasn't spoken wants to make a comment. Okay.
Jim gave me a call about it. He didn't say they were going to push to do that, but he did call me, say that he wanted something of that nature, and I understood where he was coming from. And I said the same thing I said to you, Lynn, is that it's kind of a late on that. And, you know, like I would hope that, you know, we can move this. But if, like I said, it seems like the county executive and along with Milgram and Wiederman, have pushed the idea that they are going to get that. And so as a result, it will happen. And the funds were there to take care of it. And we'll recoup those funds, whatever they may be. And the study will be done. And we'll have that in time prior to the next legislature, the meeting of the body. So therefore, you will have an informed, you can make an informed decision, at least informed as much as you want. But I'm sure there probably will be other questions. But at this point, it'll be there. So, and if it's not, then we perhaps push to postpone again or whatever we may do. People can do that if they're not happy with the numbers. But the numbers will be there by the end of next week. You have a time. You'll have a week, full weekend, 4 or 5 days to devour them. And it's going to be done by a very reputable company that I know Jim knows, you know, we all know. So it's not going to be, it's going to be totally independent. And therefore, I hope we had some trust there, but I'm sure there may not be trust even if it came out.
Okay, so is there anyone else on the committee I'd like to comment before I call the vote? Legislator DeLon.
Just quickly, I just want folks to know that I did reach out to both the chair and Chairman Donaldson to let them know that I had a concern, and it turns out that there was other folks, other legislators that also were concerned about the amount of the pilot. So I'm really pleased that we are going to go through a process to just make sure that what's being proposed is not unduly enriching the developer, that it's the right number for this pilot. It's not too much. It's not too little. It's what makes this project happen. I want to see the project happen, and I want to see the developer make money. That's a good thing for Ulster County. So I'd like to see the numbers, though, first, and get that assurance before we move to a vote.
So I just want to make sure that there's been a couple of questions raised by legislators through the chat that aren't on the committee, and they want to know if the report will be shared with the entire legislature, and I'm going to request that that does happen, Tim, that each legislator gets a copy of that before we have an opportunity to vote. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So any other legislators have anything they'd like to add before we call a vote? Okay, so then all those in favor, please signify by raising your hand, saying aye.
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 Okay.
All those opposed?
And I'm just opposed only from the perspective that we don't have the information with which to move it forward. And I'm disappointed that economic development doesn't have the information to make an informed decision. Thank you.
So it passes five.
Oh, hold on. Legislator Uchitel would like to speak, I guess.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure my hand was raised on opposed for the reasons that Legislator Archer mentioned, just that we need more information.
Okay. So to be clear, well, We are going to get it, and there'll be two opportunities to stop this in its tracks if the information doesn't meet the legislature's approval.
So I have the vote five yeses and three noes, so it passes.
Right, that's correct. Okay. There's no other business on the agenda. I think we have some old business, but I don't think we have anything. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong file. Sorry. I don't think we have anything on old business at this time, unless anyone has anything they want to bring up.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Well, let me ask if there's any. Now, hold on a second, fellas. Is there any new business that anyone would like to bring up this evening? Okay, now I'll accept a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Seconded.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you very much, folks, for hanging in there for what turned out to be a pretty long meeting. Appreciate it.
Everyone.
Take care.